The following programming is sponsored by Home Improvement Fix and Facts. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Saying in her sleep, brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Here at WWDB, you are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway. We are live on the podcast right now at WWDB, as well as on the radio at 860 AM. You can also catch us on Odyssey, and I understand you can ask Alexa to turn me on. So there you go. As well as my loyal listeners who send me messages and text messages through Instagram and Facebook under Home Improvement Fix and Facts. It's a beautiful sunny morning, and I am here to share with you that this is the second to the last show that I will be doing for a while. I'm going to take a hiatus all through the holidays, through the winter, and see what life holds in the near future for me. I am still keeping my other show that's on Mondays from 3 to 4 called Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, but I just wanted to take a little break here for a while. And I'll keep you guys posted, and I'll let you know through Tell Me More if and when I decide to take my hiatus off and come back. I started here at WWDB in, believe it or not, during COVID. I had signed my contract and was due to start, and actually started the week that COVID hit in 2020. So we're going on to almost 5 years, four full years here almost at WWDB. And I started with ESPN. That was one of their stations. And then that got sold off. And then they brought me over here to this side of talk radio. It has been a blast. It has been a whirlwind. It has been so much fun to be here with everybody. And I love the guests that I've had on through the years. And some of the topics, like today's topic, is going to be a lot of fun. And just the camaraderie that they have at the studio, which is really cool, because I've had different sound guys and production guys in the studio throughout my 4 years. I never knew what I was getting when I would come into the station, who was there, who wasn't there. But fortunately, they stuck by me and hung in there. And somehow or another, we always managed to put together a pretty good show. So I want to thank everybody for listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts over all these years. I'll still have my Instagram and my Facebook page up, so you can still reach out to me if you have any questions or you want to know anything that is happening in my world or happening in the home improvement world. But I'm expecting that it's the home improvement industry going into March of next year might be a little bit tough for a lot of people because of the changes that will be happening in government. We talked about that last week, and that might be the time for me to come back and say, hey, here's what's going on. So let's get to today's show. I have a couple fun things happening today on the show, but something that took me by surprise, and you guys have probably seen this all over the internet and social media, because, you know, social media is such an amazing thing. It can spread lies and rumors faster than anything, but it can also give you some fun facts and things if you look in the right places. And communication, as we know, is a global thing. We've used our computers. We've talked about computer safety here and things like that. But there's been this trend on the internet, and I thought that I had to address it because it was the weirdest thing that I have seen. And it kept popping up in my feeds, maybe because I clicked on it once. You know how that happens. You say something in your house or you click on something, and then you get bombarded. But this is the weirdest trend that I saw in kind of like the home improvement industry. And I'm going to give you a little history behind it. But People are putting toilet paper in their refrigerator. Yeah, you heard me. People are putting toilet paper in their refrigerator. And I was like, I had to research this. Like, how did it start? What's going on with this trick? And I wanted to find out what people were saying about it and what how this got started. It is the craziest thing. So I found this editor on Honest Food Talks that says her name is, or his name, I'm not sure if it's a guy or a girl, honestly, says Ruez Azri is the editor of Honest Food Talks, and it says that toilet paper's absorbency is behind this new hack that's going on because moisture is in the refrigerator and contributes to mold and mildew and unpleasant odors in our refrigerator. And supposedly, toilet paper absorbs the excess moisture along with foul smells. Now, I have to honestly tell you, I have not done this after the COVID crisis and nobody being able to get toilet paper. I don't know if I want to waste a roll of toilet paper because COVID is still around. It still exists. It's just not as prevalent as it was back in 2020 when I first started here. So we're going to be talking about toilet paper a little bit as one of my fun topics today. But apparently, toilet paper in the refrigerator references can be found going back as far as 2015. But it seems to be a dedication to toilet paper right now. It's been appearing on Facebook and TikTok videos, and like I said, throughout social media. So I can't believe I'm talking about this, but I thought it was so funny that I had to ask, and maybe, just maybe, I'll part with a roll of toilet paper and do it and tell you how it works out in a week. But yes, so toilet paper does absorb odors, and you know, it's supposed to be pretty efficient and takes up less space. I don't think so. I have better odor busters for all you guys out there. But people that come to your house are going to wonder, like, what the heck is going on with the toilet paper in your refrigerator if you have friends and family over, especially now during the holidays. I mean, here we are a week out before the hustle and bustle of all the holidays starting up, and that's when COVID can spread, you know, when we're all with each other constantly in and out and running in and out of markets and things like that, for those of you that, you know, believe in it. Or in those of you that don't, whatever. But anyway, toilet paper is really just a temporary fix. I don't think it's the best thing that is out there. I mean, this is just the weirdest trend that I have seen with toilet paper in the refrigerator. So here you go, people. You're reading up on it, you're seeing it. They say it's an odor eater, it absorbs extra moisture. But I, like I said, I have not tried it. I have a refrigerator that was here when we moved into the house, and we have problems. We've played with it. We have, you know, the mold around the seals of the refrigerator that no matter how much you scrub them with bleach or Tile-X or a magic eraser, you know, my favorite toolkit item, magic eraser. I can't seem to get rid of it. So maybe I'll throw some in there. But we all know that baking soda has always been the go-to in refrigerators. I've always kept a box, and it's cheaper, in my opinion, to put a box that's opened of baking soda in the refrigerator and or the freezer. I always felt that that was a good way to neutralize the smells and the acids, and actually deodorizing the refrigerator. And what I also do is it's also good to go down your drain. And it's great if you have a fire in your kitchen, you can just reach out and grab the toilet paper. I'm not the toilet. No, not the toilet paper. I'm stuck on toilet paper. You can grab the baking soda, and it works really well for putting out fires. So it and it's effective. You replace it every 3 months. Whereas with a roll of toilet paper that's been sitting in my refrigerator, I am not putting that in the bathroom. If it's absorbing moisture and odors and all of that other stuff, I am not putting it back in there for anybody to use. So I just thought it was really crazy that people were doing this, that they were putting this toilet paper in their refrigerator. I just, it makes no sense to me to be able to do something like that. But it keeps popping up. So I thought I would talk about it. And mildew and unpleasant odors in our homes just in general are not anything that we like. We don't like that musty smell. We don't like that smell of mold in anywhere in our house. You know, it's like, it's just the worst form of odor. And mildew is actually an early form of when mold will start. So if you start to see mildew, then you know mold is coming and you have to jump on it right away to get rid of the smell. And we know if we leave our towels sitting around too long, I haven't noticed toilet paper absorbing that in the bathroom. But if we leave our towels and clothes and damp things sitting around too long, it is not exactly a wonderful thing for our clothing and our house. It just smells awful. So I've done shows like this before with removing the smell, and I usually clean my refrigerator, believe it or not, with a solution of vinegar and baking soda when I'm cleaning the refrigerator and wiping it all down. And I feel that makes the refrigerator smell really fresh to me without adding any smells of like essential oils that you don't necessarily want in that room. But some people will put like some orange scent or some grapefruit or some kind of smell like that. But for me, when I open the refrigerator, I don't want it to smell like anything. So toilet paper in the refrigerator is not exactly a great thing, in my opinion. But people have been doing it, and I don't understand why they're doing it. We don't have the ban on toilet paper like we had before. So let me give you a few other things that you can do in your house and in your refrigerator just to make everything smell fresher. That I just, like I said, I'm weird about this trend that's out there. I don't think it's the best thing that's out there. But let's go back to some other things that you can do. I think it's just the craziest thing. Baking soda is one of my all-time favorites, along with vinegar, for cleaning up a lot of things around the house. But there are some, for those of you that want to be super cautious, there are some other things that you can actually use in your refrigerator. You know, a lot of people have water filters in their refrigerator. And those water filters have what's in them called active charcoal, and it captures the particles that cause bad smells, just like toilet paper does. And that is something that you can actually put in your refrigerator as well. You have your filters, which you should be changing regularly. It's also activated charcoal is also something that you find in your coffee pots. And you can actually find it available as a powder, and you can make little packets of it in fabric and put that in your refrigerator. And its function, like toilet paper, like baking soda, is to collect those volatile smells that are coming out of our refrigerator. They're supposed to reduce the odor, and we're supposed to swap charcoal out every month. And if you know about charcoal, you're finding it in a lot of makeup, not makeup, but masks for women, men's face. You're also finding charcoal in shoes, believe it or not. Not the shoes themselves, but the insoles that go in your shoes to absorb smell. So there you go. Vanilla extract is a great one. That combats bad odors. And if you want your refrigerator to smell like a bakery, then you can put a little vanilla extract in your refrigerator. It's pretty cool. Now, if you're really technical, you can use UV lighting purified filters that you can get, of course, on Amazon or anywhere else. Ultraviolet light, as we know from COVID, can destroy bacteria and mold and other pathogens. And some refrigerator purifiers use UV light to sanitize the air and the surfaces inside the refrigerator. So one of the companies that does that are refrigerators by Samsung. The Bespoke line, it's a really pretty line of refrigerators, offers UV deodorizing filters, and they've been doing that since 2021. So they got on the bandwagon with COVID, and they have the UV filters on their inline water dispenser lines, which people don't always seem to remember to clean thoroughly, but they're really cool. And I love that line. It's one of my favorites. Samsung makes some great products. So if you're looking for UV lighting in your refrigerator. And then there's the just the old fashioned way of just the baking soda, cheapest, easiest, in my opinion. Some people will go as far as to use charcoal and newspaper to clean their refrigerator. I just think that's messy. As you know, crumpled newspaper with vinegar can clean your windows really well. So we know that to be a fact. So I think it, I just thought it was really fun to find out more about this trend that has popped up. I don't know why it took off all of a sudden, but I do want to take a quick commercial break. And then when I come back, I want to tell you a little bit of, believe it or not, there's a history behind toilet paper. Yes, I'm talking about toilet paper on a home improvement show, because toilet paper can clog our toilets and our plumbing lines and our septic system if we don't know exactly what we're doing. So let me take a quick commercial break. You're listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway, and we will be right back.
Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly-siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly-siding.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Because I'm rambling today. it's just to go back to the toilet paper bit. There's nothing that actually says that toilet paper in the refrigerator actually works. If anybody's done it, let me know if you've done it. I just think it's kind of interesting. So we all use toilet paper. Here in the United States, it's everywhere. Homes, at work, hotels, restaurants, friends' houses, public buildings, government buildings, everywhere. And it's because we here in the United States, as well as around the world, have a natural impulse to be clean. Yep, that's true. And before toilet paper, people used whatever they had at hand. I remember the jokes when I was younger about saving the Sears catalog, for those of you that know. That people use stones. The Greeks, goes back to the Greeks' time, a joke about using three stones are enough to wipe. There's just so many different historic, ancient sanitary solutions out there. One was when sailors were out, they would use the frayed end of a rope if needed. It's crazy. There's even a poem about using corn cobs. Yes, a poem by James Whitman Riley immortalized how uncomfortable that could be in the winter. So the early history of toilet paper actually started going back to the 1393, according to the research that I found, and according to Needham and Tsen, again, it's a Chinese name I can't pronounce, recorded, the records indicate that the Bureau of Imperial Supplies produced 700,200 sheets of toilet paper for use of the courts at the Imperial Chinese Bureau of Imperial Supplies. I know. And these were large 2 by 3 foot squares, and they were just very simply made, according to what I've been finding out. And they were described as being thick but soft and perfumed. And over time, they started to make them smaller in 3 inch by 3 inch squares, which is pretty much like we know it today. So I think it's really funny that it has such a long history, but yet if you go to places like Japan, believe it or not, in some places they don't have toilet paper. And when you need to use the facilities, in some places they have a hole in, they have a room and there's a hole in the ground and that's where you go. I know, it's crazy. So for us here, we try to be as clean as we can. And here in the modern age, and this is considered the modern age, thanks to the Library of Congress, you can still find advertising copy out there about different toilet papers. And there was an advertising thing by Joseph Gayety, who is widely considered the father of modern toilet paper. And in his advertising copy, he declared his invention as the greatest necessity of the age. And he pitched, you know, recycled catalogs and newspaper were hazardous to your health. Printed paper ranks with poison and is tender to the body, he would say. And individuals should not put printer's papers in their mouth. Newspapers and things like that. Yep. So applying the ink to the tenderest part of the body was not something that he touted. And that's what got him off and running with toilet paper. And consumers started to knock it off as much as they can. And they were urged to put a watermark on every sheet of Gayety's toilet paper. He was determined to keep his name in front of consumers, as it says here, even if his product was behind them. So there's no doubt that, you know, his aloe-infused toilet paper was much more comfortable than other brands were out there, but it was expensive, not like it is today. And if you adjust it for inflation, going back to when he invented and advertised toilet paper, aloe toilet paper will cost $16 a roll. Yeah, for basically a roll and a half. Isn't that crazy? So it's interesting to get a little bit of background on toilet paper. Toilet paper on a roll is credited to Seth Wheeler, one of several inventors who was riffing on Gayety's toilet paper concept, and is credited with inventing the modern toilet paper roll. And there were other patents out there, bunches of toilet paper dispensers, coin-operated toilet paper dispensers. But Wheeler's design we still use today. And that patent, which is out there, his original toilet paper patent came out in 1887. And then after that, in 1890, he took out a patent to perforate the toilet paper on the roll. And then a year later, he took out a patent in 1891 to improve the toilet paper roll to the cardboard basic design that we use today. So toilet paper is everywhere, right? We know what happened during COVID, and it's nearly identical to the way it was designed and done over 45 years ago. And in 1973, here's a good little fun thing for you too. America was in the midst of an energy crisis. Geez, I wonder what crises we're going to see in the next couple years. But we were in the midst of an energy crisis, and gas station lines stretched for blocks, and tensions were high. And Johnny Carson made a very casual joke about toilet paper being the next shortage, and consumers rushed to the stores and bought as much toilet paper as they can. So I'm sorry, 1973, in case I said the wrong year. So toilet paper has been around for a while. So you might want to keep a few spare rolls in your house, but not necessarily in your refrigerator. And that fun article came from, believe it or not, it came from the Family Handyman, one of my favorite places to get information and do my research. So there you go. A little bit of history on my second to last show here at Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Now, I always like to find different things that people are doing. And my husband and I were doing some work outside of the house a couple weeks ago. And I noticed we have a stucco house. And I noticed around the base of the house, the stucco didn't go all the way down to the ground. And you saw that cinder block is there. And my old house was the whole base of my house from the outside going up the driveway and around the block. Around the back had cinder block on it. And I remember thinking the other day how ugly it was and how much I didn't like looking at the cinder block. And I said, can't we just stucco that? Isn't there a way to just like cover it up and make it look better? Because it's not painted like the stucco is in a color and you can see the gray. And I feel like it's not perfect. And it doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't look great. And asked a couple people about this and found out, which was really cool, that you can install installation panels on bare foundation walls. And you would do that to save energy and, of course, curb appeal. They fasten to the clean walls of the cinder block and they apply with a special foam adhesive. And I started researching it and I saw the panels around the base of the houses in my research and I thought, wow, this is awesome. It just gives such a finished look to your house. So if you have a house, an older house, and you're trying to deal with the cinder block that goes around the base, I'm going to give you more information on it. Or you just want that really clean look or extra protection around your house, extra insulation, then and if you're concrete walls are starting to look bad, especially if you've removed shrubs and brush and trees and things around that, like that from around your house. This is a great way to dress up the base of the walls. And foundation installation panels are something that you can use. And I in all my years, I was not familiar with this. And I thought it was just something fun to make our houses look so much better. Foam insulation board is definitely a terrific alternative to fiberglass. So I just want to put that out there. Not that you can't use fiberglass as well. And it's really easy to install. Foam insulation board comes in sheet sizes that are 4x8 and smaller sizes and thicknesses that are 1/4 inch up to 2 inches thick. Sometimes, you can find thicker foam board, but that seems to be the thing. Now, I'm going to go back to tile in a couple minutes, but what is foam board insulation? Well, it's a great alternative to fiberglass bat insulation that we find on most of our homes, and it has a higher RV per inch of thickness. So it's easy to resist moisture. Here we go, back to the moisture thing again. Moisture in the fridge, moisture around our house. So there's a couple different kinds of foam board insulation for all you DIYers out there that might be looking at this saying, what can I do? Can I do this to my house? I'm going to go back to the tile in a couple minutes. But there's something called EPS, expanded polystyrene. And this is the same stuff that you find in your like packaging, you know, that foam core kind of stuff, that white stuff that you're not supposed to put in the recycles. It's a cheap kind of insulation, the foam board that's in there, and it's used to protect fragile objects. You see it in your packaging whenever you get a package, and it's usually all those little tiny balls that are all attached together, and the minute you rip it, it makes a mess. But it does provide an RV value of of 4 per inch of thickness. So it cuts down on the chill in the house. And EPS is used under roofing. It's used over foundation walls. It's under siding. So it is something that you can certainly use. Now, I'm not saying save all that expanded polystyrene, there I go, not being able to pronounce words, because there's other stuff that you can buy, but you can buy it in sheets. So extruded polystyrene, this is the rigid pink and blue panels that you can find at a lot of the home centers, the big box stores, and that comes in many thicknesses, and it's denser than the EPS. It provides more of an R value with a rating of 5 per thickness, and it's available, believe it or not, with straight edges or tongue and groove edges to limit air movement. And it comes in all different configurations, all different sizes. And it's pretty common to use this for foundation in insulation panels. And then there's another one, if I can even pronounce it, polysocrynactorate. This is an even more dense and expensive kind of insulation, and it provides an R value of 6 per inch of thickness, and it comes with a foil-faced back to reflect radiant heat, and it comes, like others, in several thicknesses, and you'll usually see this over house sheathing underneath the siding or up in attic spaces where its reflective properties are very, very effective. So when should you use it? Because of its moisture, of its resistance to moisture, foam board insulation is a great choice whenever and wherever there's a chance it could get wet. So examples, again, around the base of your house, around that cinder block. And we can put stuff on top of it to make it look better, but exterior foundations, inside a basement against the foundation, outside of the house, underneath a house wrap. It's foam board insulation is a little bit more expensive than the traditional bat insulation. So use it only when moisture is a factor, because it does make sense for your budget. And I, as I've told people before, cheapest is not always the best, and neither is the most expensive. And it's easy to cut with a wire saw or a masonry blade, or score it with a utility knife and just snap it if you want to do that around your house. Now, I think it's a really cool thing when you can dress up that painted cinder block around your house. I'm just not a real big fan of seeing that. And some other reasons that you might want to put insulation around your house is insulation is a great option for termite infested areas, because the panels show that not all of it is termite resistance. So you just want to, if you can, provide a bridge so that you don't want to give the termites a way to get into your house. So a termite specialist said that installing the panels makes it difficult to inspect along the bottom of the siding for termites. So some companies offer termite resistant insulation panels that you can install on the exterior of your home, and then you can trowel over it, you know, with cement or stucco or something like that. But you can actually go along the outside of your house, and this is something that I definitely really like, is the fact that you can do tile around the outside of your house. So you can do your foam insulation adhesive, and then you can get the outdoor panels, which are easy to power wash and put along the outside of your house just to give it a cleaner look. Similar to tiles that you would use to a walkway, something that won't break easily. I just thought it was such a cool thing to give your house a more finished look on the outside. There's plenty of articles out there that you can use, you know, that you can look up to hide your bare foundation walls. And like I said, it's the cinder block that got to me. I know in my last house, the cinder block got cracks in it. So any protection that I can use to keep, again, make sure you read up on the termites, to keep termites and water and just an ugly look around your house. And then just finish it off with stucco or concrete or some masonry tiles that you can use on the outside. And they can attach to the concrete. You can use whatever works best for you, for your look. It's just something a little bit different. And for you DIYers that want to try it, make sure you ask the questions, make sure you do the homework, and make sure you understand exactly how it all works. So just some fun little DIY things for you for today on my second to last show right here at Home Improvement Fix and Facts. And I want to go over some more fun little tips for you. I was originally going to do the sorting show, but I see somebody else did that last week. I was because this is something I started doing in my house. I decided it was time to get rid of the clutter. But since it was just recently done by someone else, we'll save it for next year. We are wrapping up our second to the last show. We are here at Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we will be right back.
Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly-siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly-siding.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city.
And we are back. Last week, I gave you a fun little tip about corks. I'm pretty sure because I went to my husband and I'm like, I grabbed our synthetic wine corks. And it was one of the best ways for sealing tubes of caulk. It's amazing how well this works. He would always put a nail down the end of the hole of the caulk gun, of the tube. And if you take a synthetic cork, and I'm going to repeat it because it works really well. We did this. If you drill a 5/16 of a hole into the cork about an inch deep, it fits perfectly over the caulk and makes an airtight seal. And I just wanted to mention that because I want to give you listeners a few more tips and tricks that you can use as we're, you know, wrapping up the season here of things that you can do around your house. But I love that one. Do not use a regular cork, the synthetic, those plasticky kind of corks that are out there. If you've ever had coffee bags that have those thick ties on them, not a regular bread tie, but they're a little bit thicker and flatter, those are great to use as heavy duty ties. Yep, you can use them to secure like small cables and small coils of rope, and they're easy to fasten, and you can literally, believe it or not, if you want them to stay shut, if it's something you're not going to be using right away, you can put a little bit of glue on there to keep them from coming undone, but they're just really easy to pull off your old, you usually find them on coffee and certain types of products. Those are really good for binding and making a nice clean area in your house. Another thing that I thought was really cool, because we have a lot of this, we have lots of caulk in our garage, as well as lots of spray paint. And this was one of my fun ones. If you go to the liquor store or the beer store, you know, those 6-pack cartons that they have out there, those are great for storing things like spray paint, caulking tubes, bottles of cleaners that you need because it's easy to pick up and move around your house. So it's a great six-pack organizer. And if you're somebody that doesn't want to increase the plastics in your home, you can even use one of those in your house to move your cleaning products from room to room. It's inexpensive. They're easily replaceable if they get damaged or ripped, and you can pick another one up really, really easy. But it's a really great organizer around your house. Another thing is we just finished a kitchen. Pictures will be up on Home Improvement Fix and Facts in a couple weeks from a kitchen. And we noticed that one of those little sticky bumps on the cabinet doors was missing. So the homeowner happened to notice it. We didn't notice it. Everything seemed fine, but there are those little clear plasticky sticky bumps that you put so that things won't smear and rub and scratch on surfaces, make it easier to close doors. You've seen them before. They come in a little vinyl strip. But another place where these can come in really handy, I love these, so buy some, keep them in your house. They're great for bumpers on the back of picture frames that you're hanging on the wall, which keeps the picture frames, and when you hang a picture, sometimes it kind of tilts a little bit against the wall, so this will bring it out and make it more square. They're also great to put on the back of some of your rulers and things like that, that you want to slide easily, but you don't want smearing across paper or drawings or anything like that. So if you're hanging T-squares or levels or anything like that in your workshop or picture frames, these little sticky, clear little round bubbles are perfect to use. You will find more uses for them than you ever thought that you would have. Another fun little tip as we're getting ready to wrap up here is this was really interesting because I have often gotten blisters on my hands when I'm raking leaves outside, you know, or if I'm doing a lot of sweeping outside of the leaves, if I'm not using the leaf blower. And I always get, always, without a doubt, especially if I'm shoveling snow, even with gloves on. I prefer not to use gloves when I'm shoveling snow because I like the grip on the shovel. But I always get blisters between my index finger and my thumb, without a doubt. I always do it. So you can, believe it or not, it's really easy. If you're sweeping the floor, to make your yard work easier, I just want to give you some simple things that you can do. But I always get the blisters. Putting the Band-Aids there ahead of time is really a good thing to do to make sure that you're not having any problems with getting those blisters. And I want to see, I had my notes here and I lost them as fast as I did. I'm trying to make sure I... okay, so... this is a tip. I haven't tried it on the blisters because I, like I said, without fail, I get it. I just read an article that said if you keep your thumb and finger on the same side of the pole instead of wrapping it around, and I haven't tried it, and grip it with your other fingers, you still have as much gripping power without getting the blisters. Haven't tried it, so I don't really know if it works, but that happens to me all the time. So, other things that are important when you want some fun little tips around your house, a little bit of on light switches in kids' rooms and in your hallways. If you dab them with a little bit of glow in the dark paint, believe it or not, it makes it easy to see. And you can also, glow in the dark paint, so easy to get in the hardware stores and the home centers. I like it because another thing besides just doing the light switches in your house, so it means the kids can see it easier, I've actually used the glow-in-the-dark paint for painting flower pots outside and using them to line a walkway. So that is something that's really fun, and it gives you like a little bit, it doesn't light your walkway. It just gives you definition between planters and where the walkway is. It's really kind of a fun little tip that you can use outside and for the kids in your house. So I like the idea of the glow in the dark, and you can even take a little tiny strip at the bottom of a door where kids might be sleeping or along the side, and you can do just the tiniest strip of glow in the dark paint along the door to make it easier in the dark. God forbid there's a fire or something like that. It makes it easier for the kids. Speaking of fire, we just had daylight saving time, and I hope that you all took the time to change the batteries in all of your smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, anything that outside cameras outside your house. That's the perfect time to do it. Every time the seasons change, this is a great thing to do. If you haven't done it, usually I do a whole thing on fire safety. By the way, next week, before we run out of time, it's turkey time. So we'll be doing some turkey tips in the kitchen as you're getting ready to prep your turkey for the holiday. Another fun little tip, and I have seen this in many houses, is the tennis ball parking guide. So for all you DIYers out there, if you've ever seen somebody's house and wondered why there's a tennis ball hanging from their garage ceiling, the reason why is once you have your car in the perfect position in your garage, if you hang a tennis ball from the ceiling, the garage ceiling, so it just barely touches your windshield, it will give you the perfect place to stop your car. No guesswork, no pulling it in crooked, no going too far or not being able to shut the garage because you didn't pull your car in far enough. So the tennis ball trick works really well. And the best way to do that is to park your car in what you consider to be the best position in your garage. Get a tennis ball on a string, hang it from the ceiling, and it should just lightly touch the windshield. So easy, 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 easy peasy thing to do. Here's another fun little tip for you. You're all going to have people visiting you during the holidays. Some of you have cushions on your chairs. Mine are always falling off. Always, always, always. Even the cat knocks them off. So if you get the rubbery mesh that's out there designed to keep rugs from sliding on the floors, you can cut out squares of that or circles, whatever your size is, and put them under your patio cushions or your house cushions around your dining room table, and it keeps them from slipping. Fun, fun, fun little hacks. Now, we just had a big project in our house. Our heat wasn't working in one of the rooms, and we were able to fix it. We found out that somehow the cord had been cut or eaten that went to the thermostat. So the heat was working, it just wasn't working in the room because the thermostat wouldn't turn it on. And it was quite a bit of a mess in the room. So if you have to cut into your drywall at all in your house, I highly recommend, now my husband is fabulous carpenter, contractor, great at cleaning up his mess, but here is a great dust catcher for you. Take a brown paper bag and use some painting tape. Tape it against the wall, the one side of the bag, under the area that you're going to cut. Open up the bag, and before you drill and cut into the wall, the bag becomes a work zone that will catch all that extra falling dust. And that is like such a pet peeve, especially if it gets onto the carpet or onto the flooring. You still are going to have to go back and do some cleanup. But if you make your own little dust catcher, it's the same as when you are peeling onions, getting ready for the holidays. You put a bag over the door of your cabinet and then right by the sink. And then instead of putting all the scraps into the sink or into a bucket, you can just peel those potatoes right into a bag that's clipped or taped onto a door. So these are just some fun little savings tips that you can do to keep it easy in your house. Just some DIYers that are a lot of fun. And one last little tip, well, I have a couple more, but one little tip that I told you guys about before, oh gosh, I don't even know how long ago it was pool noodles. A lot of us are pooing our swimming pools are packed up, they're sealed up for the winter, and we have all those pool noodles. Yep. And I have used it, and we use it. You can get pipe insulation in stores. Yes, you can. But believe it or not, pool noodles can come in handy to use as pipe insulation in some of the areas in your home. But one of the other places that it is really great, and I wish I had known about this tip a long time ago, because when I go to visit my mom and I'm moving her walker, or sometimes it was her wheelchair, now it's mostly the walker, in and out of my car, I totally scratched up the bumper. So if you take those pool noodles that you don't need anymore because they're so inexpensive, and you slice them down the long side and cover when you open your trunk, if you cover the seal of the bottom of your trunk where the gaskets are, it makes it really easy to slide anything big, whether it's wood, whether it's a wheelchair or a walker or cabinets or boxes or whatever. It makes it really easy to slide them into your car. The pool noodles can then just be popped right off. It protects your paint and it protects your car from all those dings and gouges that you get. And I think I had done a show about pool noodles probably during the beginning of the summer, of some things that you can do. And then here is, for all of you painters out there, this is a good one because this will make it easy for cleanup in your house. So for all you DIYers that like to paint, if you put a little bit of moisturizer and lotion on your face and your neck and your arms before you paint, it makes splatters so much easier to wash off. Yep, super easy. So like, who would have thought that? Of course, we wear gloves and things like that. But I'll tell you what, I make a mess when I paint. I'm not the painter that you want to hire. So a little lotion, a little moisturizer on your hands, your arms, your legs, if you're wearing shorts, your face will make it so much easier to clean up with paint. And then the other thing that works really well around your house is, this is the time you should be finishing up with all the leaves, the gardening, the pulling out the old tomato plants, anything like that that is in your yard. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to use an old tarp. Yep, it's called tarp trailer. You use a big, cheap plastic tarp. And this is great for mulch too when you're mulching around your house. But this is the time where you really want to get outside. The leaves should be pretty much off the trees now. You want to get everything out of your gardens. The mums are pretty much dying. Any summer plants, any garden plants, anything, any branches around your home. So if you use a tarp and drag that around, especially if you don't have a wheelbarrow, you can just dump everything onto that tarp, drive it around, and then it makes it easier to put into the dump or take to your, you can gather it up. It makes it really easy to take to your local shredding place where they take branches and things like that, or wherever it is that you take all your outdoor waste. So an old tarp works great. You can get a cheap one at your big box stores, very, very inexpensive. So for some of those fun things, another one tip that I have tried that works great, that I have had a hard time. Sometimes you have a hard time when you have a picture, going back to picture frames with the little plastic bumps on the end, the little cushy clear bumps. Sometimes it's hard to get the picture frame hook on the hook on the wall. And I found that if you use a fork and slide it, you hold the handle and slide it down on the hook, and then slide your picture down on the fork, it makes it really easy. I know this is crazy, but it's really an easy way to put a picture on a wall. You're probably like, I don't understand what you're saying. Look it up. It's really super, super cool. And along with those little sticky things that you put on your pictures, if you have a problem like I have in my house where the pictures sometimes tend to tilt, be a little bit crooked, once you have them level, you can use just a tiny pinch of mounting putty. You can find it in like the arts and crafts stores. And people usually use it to hang posters when they don't want to damage the walls in their house. But if you use a little bit of that putty, and I'm talking just a little bit, and you can put it on top of those little bumps that you're putting on the back of your pictures or anything that you're hanging on your wall, it prevents the pictures from tilting. It keeps them from harming the walls. And just keeps it looking nicer, longer, and easier to take down. And one last thing, before we have to go, as we're getting ready to end the show. Don't forget drain clogs. Yep, like it people, unscrew your drain clogs in your drains in your house every now and again, and suck out the clogs with a wet, dry vacuum, because it'll slurp up all the hair that's down there, and all the junk that goes down the drain, little slivers of soap that eventually dissolve. But a wet, dry vac gets, you'd be shocked at how much hair you might find down around the base of your drain. And sometimes you need to increase the suction around it. And sometimes you might have to put a glove on and a rag and wipe down there, because there's a lot of mold. There's a lot of stuff that piles up there. But wet, gross hair is disgusting and can clog your drains and ruin your drains. So really important. And one last thing I want to, going back to, I completely forgot about this one, going back to the glow in the dark paint. It would be really smart if you use on your fuse box in your basement and your flashlights, really simple, use glow in the dark paint on the buttons or glow in the dark tape. Yep, it glows for about 8 hours after it's been exposed to light. So I know the basement, you're saying, oh, but the basement is dark. But sometimes we try to keep our flashlights close by, especially if we know a storm is coming. We don't want to lose them, but glow-in-the-dark tape, glow-in-the-dark paint works really well on your fuse boxes. So there's some tips and tricks here on Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Next week, we'll be with you for our Thanksgiving show, because that's when a lot of fires happen. I appreciate you all for listening. I'll see you next week, same place, same time. You've been listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Pay it forward, do something nice for somebody. Thanks for listening.
There ain't nothing wrong with this old house. It just needs a little home improvement.